This is the gathering of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. And with this purpose, some points have come into my mind that I would like to put into your service. I do dua to Allah Ta'ala, I pray to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, may He make these words beneficial for me, and make these beneficial for you also. And for our akhirah, for our hereafter, may Allah Ta'ala make this luggage and goods for our forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala says in the Qur'an, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Now here, Allah Ta'ala is stating, O people of belief, people of iman, do my dhikr and remember me in high quantity. Do my dhikr, do the dhikr of Allah, do it abundantly so that you can attain success. Now here, this point, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has very, in a beautiful way, presented a path to us with these words. Very beautiful path, clear path for success, falah. Muflihun, the successful people, Allah has mentioned in various places in the Quran. The commentators of the Quran have commented on this, spoken in detail about this in different ways. Hazrat Mulana Mufti Taqi Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, I really liked one of his commentaries. He stated that this is such a word, falah, success, in the Quran, that this word, falah, success, you cannot translate this, you cannot give the commentary of this, because it's a very deep word that cannot be commented upon. But what we can summarize from this word is that falah, success, this word that Allah has instilled into the Quran, the meaning of this can be taken to be that whether it's the world or the akhirah, dunya or hereafter, this world or the hereafter, wherever you are, the person will become successful. He will attain falah, both in this world and in the hereafter. Wherever he is in this life, whilst he's alive, or in the phases of the hereafter. Now here, alhamdulillah, you are this moment sat in the dunya. May Allah will also take us into paradise. At the moment, we need to think about the world that we are in. Which person is there sitting here today who doesn't want success in this world? Everybody wants success. Child, old man, young man. We're all living in this dunya. We have needs. We have requirements. From the time we are born, there's not one need. Thousands, every way when you're growing up, wife, children, home, work, job, studies. There's no facet of life that we don't have needs in. And this is the dunya that traps us, deceives us, makes us distressed. Don't say what I'm saying. Don't be upset with what I'm saying. But I think it's honest, truthful to say that every one of us is trapped in some way or other in this dunya. This dunya is the place of difficulty, because ease will be attained only in the akhirah. Here you will not get ease. You can make mansions, big houses, have assets, and have nice cars, luxury, increase it. But you will not be content, because there's no ease in this dunya. There's no. A person in a small house, he is desperate. Man in a big house is desperate. Man in a mansion is desperate. Because nobody is satisfied in this dunya. Nothing in this world can give satisfaction. Nothing. So every one of us wants satisfaction. I want to be successful. I want a nice life, good life, easy life. Every man desires, I want to be happy, no problems, no distress, no stresses. This is our definition of success in this world. Isn't it? In our brains, in our minds, success of the world is what? What's the definition of success in this dunya? That everything we desire, it should occur. It should happen. Yes, I want to get married to this girl. If I don't get married to that girl, I'm a failure. I want this job, I'm applying for this job. If I don't get this job, I'm a failure. I failed in this dunya. Whatever is according to my desire and liking, If I get that, I'm successful. If it's not according to my liking, then I'm a failure. This is the definition that we have made for success. Why? Because, but this is impossible. Allah says this cannot occur. Life is such a journey that maybe you're ill at one stage, next time you may be healthy, you're walking, you may fall down, collapse. You may be rich today, tomorrow you may be poor. Maybe you've got a car today, tomorrow you'll be driving by bus. This is no guarantee in life that you'll get what you want. It's impossible. It's impossible that you can attain what you want. You can never design your life to be what you want. And nothing goes against that. And when this doesn't occur, we get upset. We get upset. That this is the reason why we fail. We fail. And this is the reason for our distress. Those things that are impossible to occur, why do we run after them? Whatever we want that to happen. But what Rabb wants is what is going to happen. Allah says, I am your Rabb, your Lord. What we desire cannot occur all the time. So to get rid of this distress and upset, oh, I want to live a life of success, with satisfaction. We have a need for one thing. If we attain that thing, then subhanallah, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, glory be to Allah. Then even in poverty, you'll live the life of a king in this world. You won't have depression, you won't be upset, you won't need to take antidepressants, you won't need to go to the GP, you won't lose sleep, your health won't go downhill. Nothing, no problem. No problem, no issues. No issues. If we leave this, and we want to run after what we want, if we leave this, then all the solutions of life will come. Isn't this the truth? You decide for yourself sitting here. Every one of you sitting here, decide for yourself. The problems will disappear within a second. Try to do this. So this is what Allah Ta'ala is teaching us for falah, success. That's why Allah said in the Quran, to attain success, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, I guarantee you 100%, you will live enjoyment in this world, very enjoyable life. No worry, no issues, no problems, no distress. All issues will come out of your heart. You'll love everything that comes your way. Your life will be fantastic. Beautiful life. Do dhikr though, Allah says. Do my dhikr, your life will be fantastic. Do my dhikr, Allah says, in high quantity. What will you get if you do dhikr? We'll become successful. What will we get to be successful? My brothers, then a different emotion will overtake you. And that will be the brilliant sensation. That will be the real, genuine emotion that we need. This fake life will disappear. This is not the true life, this fake life we're living. What is in our minds today that we run after? But what will come and overtake that, that will get rid of worries and distress? What will overtake our lives? Allah's every decision, we will be happy with that. We'll be happy beyond happy with Allah's decisions. Yeah? What will we be? We'll be happy with Allah's decisions. Yeah? Radha bil qada. Happy with Allah's decision. And if this emotion overtakes you, this feeling overtakes you, that every decision of Allah, you're happy with that, then that's it. End of story. Successful. I'm walking, traveling. As I'm traveling, I've got an accident. I experience an accident. Suddenly I get a jolt, a shake. Soon, but if I've got this feeling within me, suddenly I'll say, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Allah, you decided best that I had this accident. This accident, definitely there's wisdom in this accident that you gave to me. Why? Because you are that guide, and you are that assistant, you are that merciful creator, that there's nobody more than you who loves me. There's nobody more than you. If there is, then tell me today, is there anyone who loves us more than Allah? Is there? Our mother would not bring us up. Whose greatest favor is it in the world? Mother who brings us up. She raised up. Why did she bring me up, my mother? Why did she bring you up? It's Allah's mercy. Allah said, a splash of love I put into the heart of the mother. She is forced due to that love, Allah splash, that splash of love, that droplet of Allah, Allah Ta'ala put into her heart, she brings us up. If Allah takes that love out of the heart of the mother, then she will never bring us up, the woman. The mother would never bring us up. Because it's difficult. So Allah says, I love you more than billions of mothers put together. Billions of mothers. So if something happens to us, Allah says, do I want you not to be successful? Allah Ta'ala says, the whole alam, the universe, I am the Rabb of your mother and those who believe, who don't believe. Allah says, I give food to those who believe and don't believe. I give ease to everybody. This is, Allah says, here we think that, look, We ask from Allah, they don't believe, they get everything, they enjoying themselves. This whisper also comes into our mind, this whisper. But our link is with Allah Rabbul Alameen. For us, we don't run after dunya. What do we need to run after? Akhirah, hereafter. Think permanent. What we get in the hereafter, Allah will not give to anybody else. Everybody in this world is on the level playing field. Yeah? So this feeling that we need to develop to be pleased with Allah's every decision. We need to develop this. Yes, every fikr of the dunya should come out of our minds. I knew one individual, and I used to look at him with surprise. Always used to smile, he used to laugh, he'd be enjoying life, and he'd speak good points about love. And by chance, one day I said to him, and that was difficult for me that evening, thinking, and he had 6 young children, they passed away. He had tragedy in his life. When he told me this, then I started to look at his face. Subhanallah. That one child passes away, very distressing. Second distressing. Third child distressing. And he never complained to Allah. And always I'd see him smiling. Always laughing, smiling, happy. What was the reason? The reason was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilled into his heart that with every decision of Allah, he was happy. He was happy with Allah's every decision. Subhanallah. That if a person doesn't have an eye, he's happy. If he can see, he's happy. If a person cannot see, he's happy. He says, Allah, definitely this is your wisdom and hikmah. Maybe you've replaced that with something better for me. There's some wisdom behind this that I cannot see. You understand what I'm saying? So if we exchange that feeling for this positive feeling that on every decision of Allah we are happy, then is there any clash after that? No. A person's happy and purified. So to develop this emotion, if we can have this emotion, then that person is the most successful person in the world. He has no distress, no problem, and he has a beautiful sleep. If he gets food, he's happy. If he goes hungry, then he's grateful to Allah. This is the guidance and the assistance, the tool for a mu'min. Why are we off track? Why do we do unlawful actions, bad actions, commit sins? Why do we leave deen? Why do we leave salah for the sake of dunya? Why? So if we don't have this emotion with us, that we are happy with Allah's decisions. We don't have this emotion within us. If I run a business and I get £50 in the day, takeover, that allows me to live my life. And inside I have this feeling that every decision of Allah, I'm happy. I swear by Allah, I'll count those 50 notes and I'll smell them. And you'll see the barakah, the blessings, that with £50 you'll enjoy your life. You'll enjoy your life. It's enough for you. But why don't we get happy? Because we're not happy with Allah. We say, Allah, I'm not happy with this money. I wanted £100. Why did you give me £50? I want higher salary. Can you get more from Allah? Can you grab from Allah? Can you replace with what Allah has given to you? No. So Allah Ta'ala says that this emotion to change your feelings, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Remember me in abundance so you can attain success. If you want to improve your attachment to Allah, which we should do, then when this feeling changes and you become positive in your thinking, then everything in this dunya will seem a waste for you. Waste. Every decision of Allah will be acceptable to you. You'll live the life like a king. A real king. One king, rahmatullah alayhi, he was close to Allah. And he left his kingdom as Ibrahim bin Adam. And he said, Allah, I leave this kingdom mine and I am happy with every decision of yours. He came to a simple life. And he was a real king then. He sat on the bank of the river. And he had an old sort of cloak, and he was sewing it with a needle, and a person was walking past. He said that he was the king of his time. What's he doing sewing his cloak with a needle? He said, you're the king. He said, I was the king. Yes, that kingdom you're speaking about, I was the king. He said, I'm surprised that what have you done to yourself? What sort of bargain or transaction have you gone through that you've lived a simple life, now you had big kingdom, lands, palaces, assets, princes, princesses, and you left the luxurious life. You sat on the bank of the river and you're sewing your old torn cloak. Does this make sense? What life is this you're living? What is this you're doing? It doesn't make sense. Then once he spoke that needle, he threw it into the river. He said to that man that this needle Every fish of the, in this river will bring this. Soon as he threw that needle, every fish came out of the water and he had a golden needle in his mouth. This is in the riwayat, in the narrations. So he said that, I don't want the gold needle, I want that same needle. Then the fish went back and they came back. One fish came back with that old needle he was using for sowing. He said, now tell me, was that kingdom better or was this kingdom better that I've got now? Subhanallah. So Allah's decision, a person should be happy on Allah's decisions. Allah, if He's giving you daughters and you cry, I want sons. Allah's giving you sons, you cry, why haven't I got a daughter? Why isn't He giving me this? That we are developing our own sort of distress. Our own distress. Whatever's coming, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, whatever you're giving, this is reality, you're giving this, Allah. And if you love me so much, Allah, nobody else can love me more than that. You will never give me something wrong or negative. I don't understand, I don't have aqal. Allah, you are my Rabb, Khaliq, Creator. Whatever's coming from you with an honest heart, I accept, embrace. Wallahi, your life will improve for the better if you think like this. So to develop this, Allah says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Will we do dhikr, my brothers, in your lives? Inshallah. It's Allah's duty to tell us the path, but it's our duty to adopt that path and come out of difficulty. So in this world we'll have falah. But Allah says, I'll give you falah in both worlds. One is dunya, because you're living in the world, you'll become successful like this, with dhikr as your system. So what's success in the hereafter? What's success in the hereafter? Allahu Akbar. That is our final destination, which we need to plan for. In this dunya, we see things in our dreams. This is happening, that's happening, I'm here. Thousands of things we see in our dreams. When we open our eyes, we're lying on a mattress in our bed. That's what will happen. Totally the same will happen. We know. We have iman, we are believers, we read the Quran, we read the hadith, we hear from the pious elders. We hear the speeches from the ulama, the scholars' guidance, advice, that we will pass through this world and die and leave this world. I may die here and janazah will occur. Yes, we wake up every morning, evening. Yesterday there was a janazah. 2 days ago there was a janazah. People are passing away. That's the real life in the hereafter. This is a dream. This is a dream. When you sleep in the night and you close your eyes, you'll be surprised that I used to study at school, I had friends, then this happened, I got married, then I had a child or a son or a daughter. It's like nothing's happened. Time has flown. So quickly the life passes. Pages are turning over the pages of life. And I don't trust, I was so beautiful, young, handsome, now my back is bending and I'm weak and white hairs have come out, I'm daif. And I've got children, they're married now, my grandfather, dada, nana, life is passing. Where are we going? What's our destination? The hereafter, the real life of the hereafter. The real path of success is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm giving you success in the hereafter. I'm guaranteeing you the success of the hereafter. It's no big deal. What do we need to do to attain success in the hereafter? Mouth will come. First stage, death. First stage, what's our stage when we die? After this life, mouth. The trials of death, the time of death, the time when the ruh will be pulled out of the soul. We have learned a few things about this. It's such a severe time, the time of death. Such a painful time. In the narrations, one companion, radiallahu anhu, narrated that just understand the pain of death. This much, that when a person dies, his pain, severity, it's like what? The similitude is what? Is that when you pull... For example, you have a branch of nettles or thorns and it's in your body and it's pulled through your flesh. The pain that's felt at that time, imagine. This is the narration of the companion. The branch of thorns and nettles pulled through the flesh of a person. That's the pain at the time of death. One example, have we ever thought about the time of death? What will happen? How severe death will be? A testing time. Everybody who dies will go through this phase. And on the other side, the same death. The same death when it comes to a mu'min. What's the second position? The better position? Subhanallah. The angels of paradise will descend and come to you. With the attire of paradise. They will welcome you, give you glad tidings. They'll show you scenes of paradise. that you are fortunate. They'll bring those good scenes close to you. There'll be beautiful angels and they'll be smiling at you. And they will pull your soul out of your body so slowly, like you're pulling hair out of the flower. This is the successful person. The successful person. Subhanallah. If somebody experiences such a great death, this is called the person who has attained a successful death. Allah says, yes, if you want this death, all of us sitting here, once this in it, Allah says, Wadhkurullah kathira. Remember me in high abundance. We say, this is not Maulana Sahib who said this, not Mufti Sahib, no Hazrat Sahib, no Peer Sahib, no Sheikh Sahib, no philosopher, no government, no politician is saying this. Rabbul Alameen is telling us this success. Allah says, do my dhikr, I will give you success. No other person is telling us this. And your mouth will happen like this, and these deaths occur. There was a Sheikh in our silsila, in our order, 150 years ago approximately, Hazrat Usman Damani Rahmatullah Alayhi. May Allah Ta'ala allow His mercies to descend upon him. Ameen. He lived in Musa Zai, in Pakistan, near Dera Ismail Khan. He was my sheikh. And he was ajeeb, unique sheikh, unique teacher, wali of Allah. Obviously, because his life was full of dhikr, of remembrance of Allah. And how did that time occur close to his death? And success, what a successful death. When the time came to for his death, and he called some people close to him and said, slowly, listen, look at me, he said. At the time of death, this is not the person cannot speak like this. He said, look at me carefully, closely, and learn a lesson from this death of mine. He said, look, how weak I've become. I have no energy. I've lost energy. I was young in front of you. Where's my youth gone? He said, even now I'm in front of you. Where am I going now? I'm leaving. He said, I will depart from your company very suddenly, soon. And I will leave everything I've got to my name. I'm leaving this world. That's it. And whilst I'm leaving, departing, I'll tell you, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. He gave this nasiha. That's all he said. He recited the kalama, he raised his forefinger, kalama shahada, and he passed away. But he had the radha, the pleasure of Allah when he departed. We sat here in the gathering of Allah's dhikr. So this is death, and this good death can come to us. We can depart from this world successful. What should we do? Do dhikr of Allah in your lives. Will you do dhikr of Allah, my brothers? Inshallah. That's why we're here today. Yes, then the next phase of life after death is what? What is that phase? When a person dies, he will be lowered into the grave. The grave. Allahu Akbar. And people get, they start shaking when they hear about the grave. The grave. As soon as you hear grave, go and dig someone's grave. And a person suddenly shakes. Is this the ditch a person's going to be lowered into? And he was just with me some hours ago. He was my father. She was my mother. And she was going to this ditch, to the grave. And he looks down, and the grave being dug is being dug, and that person's lowered, your beloved. Yeah? And you put into a box, but forget the boxes that people are put into. You can be put into, wrapped in a cloth, it doesn't make any difference. Because the grave consumes all of these things. Within minutes, hours, days, that sketch changes. That box, the coffin will rot. The cloth will rot. That is such a severe place. The greatest companions would sit near the graves as Usman radiallahu anhu, a great companion. Subhanallah. And he was given mubasharat, good news about paradise. Ashna mubashara. He would be afraid of the grave. They would cry. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, Emily Fatima, my daughter, remember this grave, do amal, practice for this grave you are going to go to. Practice. Tell me how severe a place will be the grave that me and you are all going to go to this grave. And we have no worries, no concern. We're not afraid. These things in the world will not disappear. That, for example, I've just told you the tariqah right now, the methodology. That be happy and content with Allah Ta'ala's decisions, you'll be the most wealthiest person in the world. And to develop this, that you are happy with Allah's decisions, then do the dhikr of Allah, kathira, abundance. That's it, no depression in your life. Have you ever seen a wali Allah taking antidepressants in your life? Never have I seen a sheikh. My Hazrat Sahib, I never saw him. He was depressed, taking tranquilizers. And never. I remember once, that I was with Hazrat Shaykh and I touched his hand. He was shaking, trembling. He had a high temperature. I ran to get medicine for him, my Shaykh. And I put went to the chemist, the pharmacy, put the tablets back, painkiller. I said, Hazrat, I'll take this. You are ill, fever. He said, never. I never had even seen him drink water in Makkah al-Mukarramah in the severe heat. That was his Ajib style. And he smiled at me. And he said, that whoever made me ill, he will also give me health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no shifa in these tablets. I don't need the tablets. He had yaqeen, certainty. So brothers, what was this? This was the emotion that overwhelms a person. And all of us have this capacity. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, we have this capacity that we can become like this. Allah's put all of these emotions in us, but we've suppressed them. Test yourself. Test yourself. Experience that. Why am I swearing so many times? Well, I've seen both directions of life in my life. I've seen that life, I was afraid in life, scared, worried, depressed. What was going to happen? People I see go towards suicide. Whatever I wanted, I didn't get. The job I wanted, I couldn't get. The status of life I wanted, the level I wasn't getting. And I thought this was failure. But subhanallah, I took the hand of a wali Allah, he taught me dhikr. Everything in my life became a success after that. Everything became success after that. Subhanallah. Due to the remembrance of Allah. And I told Hazrat, the experience of my life, Hazrat, I've got this problem, this issue, this problem, this experience. And all we know is, oh, there's a jinn in that person. He's got, we need an exorcist to take the jinn out. Black magic, spells, nothing of the sort, my friends. We have made ourselves a waste. That's the problem. We have light within us, nur within us. Every part of our life, our body is filled with nur, but we have suppressed ourselves and put darkness into our lives. Enlighten yourselves. Awaken, brothers. I'm not that person who is just saying these things for the sake of it. I've seen practical both phases of life. The darkness, I had reached close to suicide. I'm sitting in front of you and telling the truth. I was not content. I had given up in my life. I used to read Quran, I used to pray Salah, waswasa, whispering of shaitan, read Quran, Salah, go left and right. What's the reason? Why is my life not full of content and satisfaction? Because the sequence of life Allah has given, Allah says, come to me in that way, travel to me in that way, then you will attain success. Subhanallah. So a person that he starts to give up, becomes depressed, despondent, and then they get afraid of Allah's dhikr, his deen, but Allah, if he wants to save somebody, because he thinks everything in the world is a waste. Then, because if you test what I'm saying, wallahi, I swear by Allah, I promise you, I'm an example in front of you myself. That I'm giving tabligh, and I am reminding you of what happened to me. I'm giving you the medicine. I've invited you all here today. I want to take you out of a trap. This life we are living today, in this day and age of materialism, this desires and luxuries and being desperate for things in the world. All the desperado we have in our life that's overtaken us, people are still upset. They've got so many things, they're still upset. We have tasbih, take the tasbih, remember Allah, create a connection with a friend of Allah, a sheikh. You'll become the most satisfied and content person in the world, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. What? Why? So qabr, the second destination. First is death, then comes qabr. And as soon as a person goes into the grave, it suppresses the person, squeezes the person, his ribs overlap. The tests start, the questions start. This is not a story. This is not a drama. I'm telling you the cure for the face. Why should we be scared if we've got the solution? We don't need to be scared about the grave. Why should I be scared of the grave? Maut will come, death will come. No problem. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet ﷺ has given us the solution. He's given us the prescription. Take hold of the solution in our Rabb. Allah has given us the guarantee that don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Continue to practice what I've told you, Allah says. And the Prophet said, Allah says, I'm your Rabb, I'm your Rabb in your world where you're alive. So when you go 3 foot down below the earth, will I cease to be your Rabb? Allah says, no. Allah says, this is the link. You create the established link here, and it will continue. So the ribs overlap. The grave becomes like fire. Don't ask what happens. What is the qabr? How difficult. It's a place of darkness, challenges, tests. A person's feelings suddenly change. He's on his own. They change. So the person is not successful. So do we want to be successful or unsuccessful? If you want to be successful, do dhikr. When you start doing dhikr of Allah, when you remember Allah, when you die, subhanallah, then your grave will be a different scene. A beautiful scene. A dhakir who remembers Allah, then the scene of his grave is totally different. 180 degrees opposite direction. What is that? The same grave will become the scene, the garden of paradise. The garden of paradise. Those same angels who come to account for your deeds, they'll salute you in the grave. They'll greet you in the grave. They'll show you the scenes, the gardens of paradise will go in the words of the hadith. They will give you a beautiful slumber, a nice peaceful sleep. Subhanallah. And that qabr, that will become a beautiful open scenery for you. Cool breeze of Jannah will come. Fragrance of Jannah will come. You'll sleep beautifully for years and years to come. No worries. If you do dhikr. And this grave, this life of the grave, will it not come? It will come. So what will we need to be successful in the grave? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا Allah says. Do my dhikr. So brothers, will you do dhikr of Allah? Inshallah, we'll do dhikr of Allah. Inshallah. Very simple solution Allah has prescribed for us. Very simple solution. So in this dunya, we've seen Allah Ta'ala has fulfilled every promise. So will Allah Ta'ala not fulfill every promise in hereafter? The person who does dhikr will pass through death easily, pass through the life of the grave easily. Third phase, the day of resurrection. The day of resurrection. People will be in the graves, will come out of the graves. Such a spooky scene, isn't it? أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ We read the Quran, don't we? Allah is telling us the scene. The day of resurrection. Everybody will come out of the grave. Allah says, the person who does my dhikr, what will happen? Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. SubhanAllah. Allah is guaranteeing in this world. So we should glorify Allah. Allah says, I guarantee you, those people when they come out of their graves, certain people, they will be overtaken with bad, ugly looks, horrible looks, in horrible ways, they'll be naked. There's no guarantee how they'll come out. Bad state, being punished. But those who followed Allah's prescription and did the dhikr of Allah, then they will be given ease. They will come out of the grave. Their faces will be shining like the moon on the 14th night. Subhanallah, this hadith. This hadith. So we should trust the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's statement. Subhanallah. Their faces will be shining like the moon on the 14th night. Yes, the day of resurrection, you know, darkness. The walis of Allah, the prophets of Allah, the muttaqis, the sahaba, they will all be going through the severity in the day of resurrection. Darkness, heat, sweat, we read, we hear about the day of resurrection. But the dhakir, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The same dhakir will be seen, there will be such people on the day of resurrection, separate group. For them there will be thrones of rubies and pearls and diamonds, stages set with beautiful pearls. They'll be sat separately and they'll be sat in coolness. Their faces will be shining like the moon on the 14th night. Imagine, brothers, this is reality. And every man on the day of resurrection will say, Allah, these prophets are the Anbiya. Who are these people? Everyone's suffering. And who are these people sitting separately? Allah will state that these are those people, that home, that nation in the world, they'd sit and remember me, do my dhikr. Subhanallah. They had yaqeen, certainty that dhikr will give them success. So brothers, will we do dhikr of Allah? Inshallah, you will surpass the heights of the mountains. Muflihoon. Next stage, next phase. Pul Sirat. The bridge of Sirat. In the hereafter. Which is thinner than a sword. Thinner than a hair. Sharper than a sword. Thinner than a hair. For those people who, Allah Ta'ala said, that you did not obey me, for those people that will struggle on this bridge. But the dhakir, who did Allah's dhikr, Allah will say that person, subhanAllah, he will cross that bridge with ease. With Allah's nur light in front, behind, to the left, to the right. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. When he recited these kalamats, subhanAllah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. The greatness of this kalama you'll see in the hereafter. The kamal, the magic, the solution. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, we sit here. We think, oh, what am I reciting this for? There's no weight of this. Why am I doing this dhikr? But you see the weight of this kalama and thereafter. Allah, what a great kalama you gave to me to recite in the world. Why? Because that kalama will assist us that time. One of the effects from the millions of effects of this kalama is that when a person recites that kalama in this world, from all four sides, nur will surround him. And the fire of Jahannam will not come close to that person. Won't come close to that person. That is how fantastic is this kalama. With security, you will cross the bridge of Sirat. What is that kalima? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah. What a great kalima. Great verse. So doing dhikr, the people who do dhikr of Allah, like the jolt of electricity, they will cross the bridge of Sirat. So further, the people of dhikr, who did the dhikr of Allah, will reach to paradise. There will be a queue behind them. Hisab, people in a queue, accounting for their deeds. You know how severe the question will be for every single second of your life. Allah will account for your deeds. Every single statement, breath, whatever movement, Allah will ask, what were you doing in the world? Every second. There'll be the person who will keep the full beard, he'll get full thawab. Those who trim the beard, less thawab. Those who shave the beard, no thawab. Every single action Allah will ask. The orders I gave to you, you disobey, this is the punishment for this, for this, for this. This is the reward for this, this. Wallahi. Brothers, if you are off track, it's your nafs, your desires that's deviating you. Don't see, why should I do this? Why should I do this? See, this is Allah's order, that's it. To consume swine is haram. Allah's ordered, I'm not going to consume swine. Oh no, there's benefit in it. This energy, calories. No, I'm not going to go towards it. I have yaqeen in Allah. That by not doing this, there's benefit. I believe in Allah. Yes? Don't enter into any debate, logic. Allah's order, that's it. I don't need to understand the logics behind it. Yes? That though this barakah in interest, sood, riba, you need to take loans so you can make your business flourish. No. Allah said haram, that's it. No interest. قَالُوا رَبُّنُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. That's it. Once Allah Ta'ala said it, Allah, you are my Rabb, you are my Lord, that's it. That's enough. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says, be steadfast, don't shake, have yaqeen in me, certainty. I won't let you drown, I won't make you a failure in the world. I won't give you poverty, don't worry. Your tests will come for some time, temporary tests in the world. Why? Because Allah wants to elevate your darajat, your levels, Allah says. Just like something's made out of clay, you put into the fire to make it rock hard, solid. And you touch it, tuk, 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 yeah? You bake it, bake it, bake it, so it's solid, Allah says, solid. So Allah says, I bake your iman, I give you tests and challenges, I'll test you. So I bake your iman, make it solidified, hard. قَالُوا ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا لَا. I am with you, I will never adopt the action of haram. Allah's order, that's it, it's enough for me. And I don't need no hikmah, wisdom, explanation, justification after that. That's it. Allah's order, that's keep the beard, keep the beard. Oh, Allah, I have no need for logic explanations. If Allah Ta'ala has ordered, do it. I accept every order of Allah. That's it. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Established action. How long does it take, brothers? I ask you a question. That 60 years have passed. We've gone so quick. 50 years. These are a few hours, seconds of our life. Establish your life upon Allah's orders. You will adopt the path of Jannah in your life and thereafter. It's a test. This life's a test. That's all it is for us, my brothers. Yes, why if Allah Ta'ala says, why do we reject? If Allah says that 1 day, 2 days, 5 days, okay, all life Allah makes us live a life of poverty, fine, alhamdulillah. But look towards thereafter what we will get. The more difficulties you get from Allah in this life on the path of truth, subhanallah, Allah will give you more levels and reward in the hereafter. Subhanallah. That's it, that's the Quran. That's the promise of the Quran. The Quran didn't come to us to kiss it, to embrace it. The Quran reminds every human being, every word of the Quran says to us, develop the certainty in Allah. Strengthen your conviction and belief in Allah. That leave those things I've made forbidden for you. Will we do this, brothers? Sure. That's the deen. What other deen is there that we have to follow? Tafsir, commentary of the Quran, I swear by Allah. Deen is two things. Atiullah wa atiur Rasul faqad faza fawzan azima. That's the commentary of the whole Quran summarized. That's the commentary of the Quran. Whatever your Rabb says, Allah, follow that. Whatever words come to you from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accept, embrace. Yes, if you're not an alim, no problem. For example, when an alim delivers the teachings to you at Jummah time, you understand it. He's telling you, whatever words come to you, learnings come to you, adopt them, embrace them, and practice on them. That's it. No need to delve into tafsir, commentary. Allah has created the scholars. They have high levels. They spend years and years learning. Yes, they're the deputies of the prophets. We didn't have time to learn this. No problem. No problem. Not every man can be an alim scholar. But alhamdulillah, we are going to the masjid or listening. They're telling us, do this, pray salah, do this, A, B, C, D. Make a note. I'm learning this ilm today. I'll practice it. That's it, end of story. No need to argue. But if you reject it and try to argue against it, Allah says, I gave you ilm and you think now you're an alim and you're challenging my deen? No. So we keep on being tafsir and debating, logical explanation. Ibn Kathir and this scholar said this and that. Forget that. Have you got time for tafsir in your life? Try to look for excuses to leave. Now do amal, Allah says. Spend your time in doing amal. One brother studying Sahih Bukhari, Muwatta Imam Malik, this kitab, I opened this kitab. If you got so much passion, then mashallah, why don't you enroll into a Darul Uloom and become a scholar? If you got that much, you're trying to look for the ways out. Today, why do we study these kitabs today? Because we don't want to study. I want to learn myself. Mawlana sahab, Imam sahab, what he's saying, I want to prove he's wrong. So I can read the kitabs myself, so I can prove what he's saying wrong. And those people who spent their whole life who study, we can't become like them. The alims, the scholars, Allah made these people for us, for our benefit. Allah created these people. They are nur and light for us, guidance for us, to show us the way, to explain the way. There are a special selection of people. No, somebody becomes a doctor, an engineer, or a worker, or a technician. But many people want to become things and they can't become. Remember, you will have heard this. I wanted to become a doctor, I wanted to study medicine, and I enrolled in this, but I became something else. This is what Allah Ta'ala destined you to become. Despite what you studied, you become something else. So, if I had me myself, I've got many degrees, I graduated, I've got certificates in this dunya, MSc in this, in geology, and geography, PhD, so many degrees. Wallah billah. I had no benefit in the world from them. What did I get benefit from? The faqir, the shaykh who taught me the name of Allah. That's where I benefited in this world. Subhanallah. I swear by Allah. Looking for status in the world, England. I've got so many certificates of education. Where will I eat from? Earn from? When Allah, I learn the name of Allah, then Allah will give us the sustenance, this ilm, the name of Allah. I learned and I came to the path. This faqir, he sealed the name of Allah on my heart. I'm just sharing with you practical solutions so you can have courage and determination to do the same yourself. Just trying to encourage ourselves. This dunya is a temporary life. We are close to qiyamah, death, shayateen, fitna has descended into this world. Everything they take us towards negative, negative. The ulama ikram, they give us the message we hear. Then we go outside over the computer, laptop. Now we have phones, mobile internet. We look at tafsir, this and that. We study for this reason. We want to prove. Scholar said, this is wrong and I want to do it this way. We try to prove them wrong. Then we'll clash and argue with the scholars. We debate with them. This is all nonsense. This is shaitan that is influencing us. Ilm is that ilm. The scholars have delivered to us. And we embrace that. And we practice that. And we say, Alhamdulillah, scholar. Oh, Shaykh, you are right. I've not studied. Ali, your alim, he has taught me. I embrace that. I accept that. Allah will say that this is the justice. And you will go to paradise. But if you are taught by the scholar and he's telling you the sahih the right way and you reject that, Allah says success will not come. So if you have issues and you ask the scholar, if he tells you wrong, he will be asked by Allah, nausbala, nausbala, astaghfirullah. If an alim says to you, riba, interest is halal, consume it. Just example, I say. If he's a jahil scholar, if he's a jahil, ignorant, and I consider him an alim, and I go to him, and he says to me, consume interest. And if I consume interest, just an example, and I die, pass away, then I will be presented to Allah, and I say, Alim sahab, he said to me, this is wrong. And Allah will say, no problem, you go, you'll get the reward, and Allah will grab the scholar and question that person. Just give an example, extreme example. So, all of us, for us, life is simple. The true scholars have already come. Take what they have taught us and practice, bring it into your life. The true teachings. No need to criticize the deen, argue with the scholars, and dissect their teachings. Who told you to keep the beard? This scholar said, I have to keep the beard. 100% he is right because he's an alim. I have to keep the beard. Brothers, will you keep the beards? Inshallah. I'm telling you this as well, aren't I? Yes. Whatever hukum Allah is giving, embrace that order. Implement the order. So, Allah Ta'ala is saying to us today, that remember me in abundance, I'll take you out of all of the problems. Death, the grave, bridge of Sirat, people will arrive to Jannah, they have to account for their deeds, but the dhakir will go into paradise without any reckoning. No account for his deeds. Subhanallah. And people say, who are you? Give your hisab. They say, no, we don't need to give hisab. We were the dhakirin in the world. Good news for you. Wazkurullah kathiran lalakum tuflihun. Oh, you are the dhakirin. Go into paradise. No stopping you. No questions. Subhanallah. Without any hisab, you will go into paradise. For one action, just accept one invitation of Allah. Wadhkurullah, Kathir Allah says, one invitation of Allah, accept today in your life, today, and put it into practice. Just accept one word of Allah. What is that? Will you accept that, brothers? Inshallah. Say inshallah. I'm not asking for anything else, just one request. Wadhkurullah kathira. I repeat it many times. Am I saying anything else? Pray salah, do X, Y, Z, A, B, C. Nothing else. Just one action. And the whole Quran guarantees in many, many places in the Quran that in this world and the hereafter, Allah says, this world, you'll have a beautiful life. And the hereafter, from death to the grave, to the bridge of Surah, to resurrection, to the entrance into paradise, you'll enter into paradise without any reckoning into paradise. People will come to paradise, question, sweating their deeds, asking everything. Then they get the stamp without any reckoning. The dhakir will go into paradise without any question. I'll tell you this hadith. The person who does the dhikr of Allah, he will enter into paradise smiling and laughing. Smiling and laughing, he will walk into paradise. The dhakir. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. How beautiful and simple a solution and powerful has been for us. Simple and easy. Allah hasn't brought you to this gathering for nothing. Don't think you just ended up here for nothing. Listen now. You will walk into paradise laughing, smiling. You'll be greeted. What a reception. What a greeting. What an introduction and a welcome gift. For example, somebody will have asked you when you came today, do you want tea, biscuits? They will have smiled at you, isn't it? Today, they are brothers, good brothers in Bolton, mashallah. They have good akhlaq, good manners. So when you're going to paradise, imagine the reception, the introduction and welcome you'll get in paradise. Especially those who did the dhikr of Allah, the dhakireen. Yes, Allah has given them glad tidings. Allah will say to the angels, look after them. They will enter into paradise smiling, laughing. Imagine they'll have palaces, they'll walk into their mansions. Listen further, the dhakir, walking into his paradise. Not just they'll go into paradise, end of story. No, the story continues. Then there'll be another scene. Allah Ta'ala will say, your story hasn't ended. The journey hasn't ended. You are my beloved servants. And you used to remember and fulfill my order and follow my advice. You used to remember me in the world, do my dhikr. Imagine the weight, the value of dhikr. Allah will say, you are my beloved servants. And are you happy with Jannah? They'll say, Allah, that there's such a happiness in Jannah we've never experienced in life. Say, Subhanallah. And then Allah will say that you've got whores, wives, food, whatever you want, alcohol, tahoor, homes, beautiful homes. Even now you're not fully happy. They'll say, Allah, we haven't got full satisfaction. Allah knows everything. Allah will say, I know what my servant wants even then. I will give him immediately what he wants in paradise. His desire is this, that all life I remembered Allah. Today Allah, can I see you? I remembered you in my life. Can I see you today? Allah, please show us so we can see you, visibility. All life long I remembered you. And you think there'll be a veil there? A veil? Behind the veils, Allah will say, lift the veils between me and my servants. And with their bare eyes, they will see Allah who they remembered all their lives. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And this maqam level you'll attain. How, brothers? How? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Remember Allah in high quantity. High quantity. So what is kathir dhikr now? We've spoken about this for so much, so long. There are two types of dhikr. One is dhikr from the tongue, and one is the dhikr of the heart. Kathir dhikr, you cannot do with your tongue. How much will you do? You'll get tired eventually, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala says, no, I don't want that man who gets tired of doing my dhikr. I don't want this. Allah says, I've prepared for you to do dhikr kathir. I don't like that person, Allah says, who, that for a second he is lazy or ignorant of my remembrance. SubhanAllah, this is our lives, brothers. Every one of us, I swear by Allah, but our life of laziness, we don't remember Allah at all in our lives. Don't take what I'm saying badly. Can I say one thing? Don't take what I'm saying badly. Please. We are all sitting here like we are deceased, like we've passed away. This is a hadith that we will live the life like deceased people and will pass away like deceased people. What's the standard of Allah? Life and death. Eating, drinking, wife, children. This is a dead life. Allah says, alive is that person whose heart is alive with my dhikr. He is the person who's alive. The person who's alive, his heart is alive with Allah's dhikr. Allah says, I define that person as a person with life in the world. And the person who doesn't have my dhikr in his heart, he is dead in the world. He's living the life like a dead person. He's deceased. So will we make our hearts alive today? Say inshallah. It doesn't take a second to make your heart alive. All these hadith I'm sharing with you, it doesn't take a second. Don't after that open the computer, this hadith, that hadith, and dissect. I'm telling you the truth today. Practice on this. Allah willing, you will look for me after that. Where's that man who gave us that advice and he gave us that chance to get forgiveness? I'll be behind you in the queue. But you'll be looking. Have yaqeen in the promises of Allah. Wala dhikr Allahi al-akbar, Allah says. My dhikr is the greatest action. One point I'd like to summarize this, and then we start dhikr of Allah. A question will arise, a strong question, a doubt. Allah is saying, Wadhkurullaha kathira. Then remember me in abundance and you'll get success. So what do we say? Do dhikr. And all success is just in dhikr, we say. Is that it? Is it no other deed? And the person thinks, nah, this is doubtful. You start thinking, but I've thought of the answer to this verse. That, where's salah gone? Where's the fasting gone? Where's hajj gone? Where's zakat gone? Where have all these actions? Oh, if I pick up the tasbih today, I leave salah, hajj, fasting. Because Allah says, wadhkurul kathira, success, I don't need to do anything else. Say, subhanallah. Subhanallah. So we can understand Allah's real definition of the deen. Is anyone here who can give the answer to this? The Quran states that dhikr, if you do dhikr, you're successful. So where's your salah gone? Which is the pillar of deen, which is the foundation of deen. That if any person has no link with deen, deen, salah is related to Islam, just like a person's head is related to his body. So if you don't have salah, you have no deen. If you don't pray salah, you're on the banks of kufr. A person who doesn't pray salah has come out of the deen. If a person doesn't pray salah, 15 punishments descend on him in this world, in the grave, in the day of resurrection, because he's left salah. Salah, there's no greater action than salah. Salah is the miraj of the mu'min. And I'm just saying today that just do dhikr, 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 and you'll be successful. Many people left salah after that. No, he said that just do dhikr. Brothers, listen and understand. Listen, understand. Sit with a shaykh, a true wali Allah, then you'll understand. Subhanallah. The solution will come to you clear. Is anyone who's got the answer? Am I just saying, do dhikr and leave all the other actions? That Allah will give us His pleasure. The hajj, what a great action. Say subhanallah, hajj. Zakah, these are faraid. Compulsory. So if we pick up the tasbih, as the shaykh said, just do dhikr of Allah, leave everything else, I'll be successful. I'm forgiven, salvation, and I'll pass through all the phases of the hereafter successfully. I'll say we'll be beaten here and beaten in the hereafter if we follow that prescription. Understand the whole solution that I'm telling you. That what is the real crux of the matter? Listen, success is with dhikr, but we have to combine this with our deen. When Allah says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَلَكُمْ تُفْلِهُونَ, what is Allah Ta'ala saying in essence is that, what is the teaching? Allah is not saying leave the faraid. Rather, Allah is giving the hint. What a beautiful solution. That Allah says you have to do the same faraid in your life that will give you success. Salah will give you success. First question in the grave in the hereafter will be what? Salah, bring your salah. Allah says, show me your salah. And due to salah, you will get forgiveness. So how should you strengthen your salah? Do dhikr of Allah, which is a must. Dhikr will give success. So how do salah and dhikr combine together? How? I'll explain to you. Subhanallah. How does it become a combination of success? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in my dhikr, in my remembrance, there's a speciality that the hearts that have disease, it's a cure. Fi qulubihim maradun, Allah says. The insan, the human being, his heart is dead, it is dark, it is not alive. And those hearts that don't allow a person to pray salah, to keep fast, to do a hajj, commit sins, do wrong actions, their hearts are what? Fi qulubihim marada, full of disease and illness, darkness. So what happens then? Allah says, what is the cure for that? That when a person remembers Allah, does dhikr of Allah, then his heart becomes alive and pure and clean. Then when his heart becomes alive and clean, he starts to pray salah. He starts to do the faraid actions. So the success of dhikr is what? That when a person does the dhikr of Allah, he becomes the servant of Allah. His first result is he starts to pray salah regularly. Regularly. It guides him, the heart guides him towards salah. As a Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi stated that look, all the ibadah worship actions, they are like what? They are like what? They are like the soil. And dhikr is the water. Water. The actions, the deeds are like plants. But dhikr is the water. So how will the life, the energy come to the plants? Through the water. So the water gives the life to the plants. If you don't have the water, the dhikr, then the plant will wither and it will die and that tree will not grow. and the plant will die and it will evaporate and be eliminated. So our imans today are weak and broken. When you do dhikr of Allah, then you're watering your iman, that your iman will grow and strengthen and increase and expand, subhanAllah. You understand what I'm saying? So success comes from dhikr. So when you do dhikr of Allah, remember subhanAllah, the person who doesn't pray salah, he arrived to my sheikh. Hazrat never said straight away, pray salah, to a student. The walis of Allah, when you go in the company, you learn many solutions. The sheikh never say, grow the beard, pray salah, do this, do that, leave this. No, because the heart is like a rock, it's dark, it's rock hard. And if you go to a hard soil, if you put the seed in there, will the plants grow? No. If it's infertile and barren, that you can put the biggest and strongest seed in the barren and rotten land. First you need to make the land fertile, put water and sow that land. And then the smallest of seeds you put in it, the plants will grow. The walis of Allah do the same. First, they introduce that student to Allah. They soften the heart, they plow the heart, they till the heart, make it soft. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Today if I say to you, leave this haram, leave alcohol, gambling, drugs, etc. You say, oh, forget that. That's too hard. What's this, Mawlana, Sheikh, stop saying this is hard, too hard for me. I'm not saying anything to you. Carry on drinking alcohol, gambling, my brothers. But do dhikr of Allah in parallel, morning and evening. See the changes. I swear by Allah, in my lives in this world, I've seen lives transform. I've seen iman come into the hearts of people. Dhikr is a fantastic power. And then the plowing of the heart, the farming of the heart, it starts. But your niyyah should be clean. It will make you pray salah, it will make you a haji, dhikr of Allah. And your heart, when it starts to improve, becomes fertile. You say, Shaykh, give me nasiyah. Don't give no nasiyah. Take a student to the company of the wali of Allah, the Shaykh, and leave him to the company. If he doesn't accept, the Shaykh will never say, do this, do that, leave haram, do this, salah, nothing. First, the Shaykh will make that fertile, the heart of the student. 10 days, 12 days, 1 year, 10 years. Allah's decision. But when the seeds are then put into the heart, such a beautiful flower will grow that he will influence the world after him, that person. SubhanAllah. Yes? The sinner person who had sins and darkness. And when I went to my sheikh and I was presented to my sheikh, and how many people are eating the fruits today? Say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. There are students, many students who are benefiting. And my sheikh said, oh, go away, you mad person. If I said to my sheikh, no, this is too hard. This is the barakat, the blessings of the sheikhs, how they train and improve the student. That you should, all of you, depart this gathering as walis of Allah. We say, oh, how can I be wali Allah? If I can learn from my sheikh, then why can you cannot improve your life? Why not? Yes? Then one person is enough for many people. Leave with this niyyah that I want to leave this gathering as a wali Allah, a sheikh, a teacher. I want to be connected to Allah. Allah, I want to become your friend and leave. You've come from so far and I didn't even know who was Allah. I had no idea. But today I know that Allah is close to us. Allah says, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. I'm so close to you. Your jugular vein, Allah says, I'm close to you. I swear by Allah, every one of you sitting here should consider this, that I am closer to Allah than my jugular vein. Allah is extending His hand to each and every one of you. Become my friend, become my friend, become my friend. Allah is extending His hand to you, hand of friendship. He's brought you from your towns, your cities, sat you down. He's making your heart soft. And your Rabb, the Greater, is pleading to you that become my friend, become my friend. Is there any one of you sitting here wants to become Allah's friend today? We are immersed in the sins. We are drowned in the sins, deficiencies, darkness, bad lives, bad circumstances. But our Rabb is extending His hand of friendship to every one of you sitting here. Become my friend. What if you pass through this gathering today, go home, you have an accident, you may have a heart attack, die. Utilize this opportunity. Let's just become my friend. And the person who becomes the friend of Allah, everything in this universe becomes his friend. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Don't leave this gathering today without becoming the friend of Allah. Allah has invited you, sat you down, made you understand. Allah says, become my friend, become my friend. I am your Rabb, my Lord, be my friend. Allah says, I want nothing from you, just remember me, do my dhikr. That's it. That's it. Allah is not saying to you, pray salah all day long, do tasbih all day long, struggle all day long. That's why people say, what kind of tabligh is this person giving? Dhikr all the time, dhikr. That he invites us to him, just like an egg sits on a hen sits on the egg and it lays the eggs. Same way, I just speak about one thing: dhikr of Allah. Brothers, will you extend the hand of friendship to Allah? At least make friendship with Allah before you go. At least make friendship with me before you go, so you can have benefit. So, Allah says, "You are my friend." Subhanallah, that is the greatest friendship, because everyone in the world, people love your money, your assets. No one is friendship, even your sons, your wife, look at your assets, your parents, they look at your money, your funds. "I brought you up, I gave you life, why don't you give me money and sustenance?" It's subhanallah, but Allah says, "I instill the love into the heart." Yes, it's a haq, our parents, we have to fulfill the rights. Subhanallah. But they said, "We boot you up, we give you food and clothes." And subhanallah, it's not nice for parents that you shouldn't say this to your children, that "We boot you up for this reason so that should repay you money." Yes, they do have a right upon us. We have to treat them fairly, nicely. Allahumma rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. We have to repay that haq. Am I right or wrong? Am I saying right or wrong, my brother? Say it loudly. Loudly. Is Allah Ta'ala's right upon us? That right. Parents, they ask for money. Dunya, people look at money. Wife, they look at funds. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but don't exchange the rights for the sake of dunya. The Allah Ta'ala says everyone's rights are unique and we need to fulfill those rights. But there's argumentation in the world. Why? Due to money and ignorance and dunya. Yes, that your rights, your money, you have to spend that money in the correct way, in the correct portion on your wife, your children, your parents, your family, etc. You cannot exchange those rights. So these old technical points Allah Ta'ala has taught us. But Allah says, make your friendship with me the strongest. And without making friendship with Allah, don't depart this gathering. Don't depart this gathering. Yes, how long we've been living, Allah's upset with us. We're far from Allah. Allah, our friend. Is He our friend? He cannot be our friend if we're living the life of sin. So extend the hand of friendship to Allah. Make the friendship with Allah. When you make friends with Allah, then that friend will look after us. Because the true friend is he who listens to his friend. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. The true friend is he who listens to his friend. Dhikr of Allah will strengthen your friendship with Allah. If you don't pray salah, when you do dhikr, you'll start praying salah. You say, okay, so if I don't pray salah, then if I'm praying salah already, why do I need to do dhikr? Say subhanAllah. Then Allah will say, okay, Hazrat Shaykh, you said that the people who don't pray salah do dhikr, but I was already pray salah. Why do I need to do dhikr of Allah? This is an argument a person will say. Then listen carefully. The person, if he does dhikr and he's not praying and he starts to pray salah, then imagine the person who's praying, if he's doing dhikr, then that salah will become the salah of ihsan, subhanallah, as if he is seeing Allah. The person already is praying salah and he starts to do the dhikr of Allah, then his emotion in salah will change from within and his feelings will be as if when he's praying salah that Allah is seeing him. Oh, and he is seeing Allah. Allah says his emotions is like ihsan, that he is seeing Allah. And a beautiful promotion he gets in his iman, that is, he'll feel as if it's he's seeing Allah when he prays salah. Subhanallah. And the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba Karam, they all had this feeling, this emotion. So there was a person who was traveling once, and he was passing through like a desert terrain, and he saw sort of the shepherd who was herding the goats. A normal person, shepherding goats, he was ignorant, maybe illiterate, and he was herding the goats. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he was Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is at the time of the Prophet. He said, "Oh shepherd, this shepherd, who these goats, who are they?" He said that, "You're herding these goats." And he said, "They're my masters." He said, "Give us one goat. We are traveling. We can cook the food and eat." He said, "These are not my goats." He's speaking to Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And he was a nomad, a shepherd, herding the goats. He said, "I cannot. These are my master's goats." And Hazrat Umar said, "We are hungry." "Okay, what you do is that we'll buy this goat from you. We'll buy from you. We'll give you some money. We'll buy from you. And then you just say to your master in the evening that some animal or wolf came and devoured the goat. Took the goat. And he won't know what happened." And what answer did he give the shepherd? He said that, "Fine, what about Allah? Maybe my master is not watching, but where is Allah? Allah is watching me. How can I do this?" Subhanallah. He had awareness. So when he heard this, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu started to cry that, subhanallah, as long there are people in this Ummah like this, I have nothing to worry about. Nothing to be concerned about. So a person who prays salah, and he does dhikr of Allah, and if somebody says to him, that will do business with interest and haram, I'll say, "Mulana sahab, how can you say this? That, oh, you have to bring up your children." You'll say, "Where is Allah? Allah is watching. Allah is listening. That I cannot do this wrong action." The person who has this emotion that Allah is watching me, listening to me, he can never commit the sin. Never. Today, all life, all the people in the world, Hajjis and people on Umrah, so many people committing the sins. Then listen carefully and clearly, I swear by Allah, they don't have yaqeen in the Quran. Allah is watching them. And if a mu'min doesn't have yaqeen, then he doesn't have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we are doing hulum today in the world. There's injustice against us. That's why. Today we have taken hold of the wrong attire of nifaq and hypocrisy. Yes, inside we are something and outside we are something else. We read La ilaha illallah, but all our actions against this. We recite Muhammad Rasulullah. Our whole life is against the sunnah. We laugh at the sunnah. We mock at the sunnah. We think the sunnah is a burden on us. We criticize the sunnah. I tell you the truth. Otherwise, is this the hal of the ummah today? The nation of the Muslimin? So much hypocrisy? What's the reason for this? What's the reason? I say to you, for example, that you work in a superstore? And they've got cameras in the superstore. Will you commit theft in that superstore? You will never commit theft because there's cameras watching us. The security staff will see this. Will you feel like picking up something, putting it in your pocket, stealing? The thief won't even do it. Even the thief, the accomplished thief won't steal the cameras. So how can it be a mu'min whose heart says to him that Allah's watching me, Allah's seeing me, and he continues to sin, then his heart, his iman is very weak. Allah says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَّعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. You do my dhikr, Allah says, and you will come unto the maqam of practice, subhanAllah. So there's many things we can say and discuss, but our hearts, our dark at this moment in time. What's happened to our hearts? Allah, we have the Quran, we have the Kaaba, we have Madinatul Munawwara, we have love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what's happened to us today? What's happened to us? What's happened to our hearts, our emotions? We lie, we backbite. Listen to one hadith, a person starts to shake. That person in whose heart he has one hair's width of pride, an atom's weight of pride, a particle's dust equivalent of kibr, of pride. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, Wallahi, that person cannot even feel the gust, the breeze of paradise. And what is Allah saying? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That if you do dhikr of Allah in abundance, then you will never be a proud person. You will be successful. SubhanAllah. So what we learn from here is that the person who does dhikr of Allah, he will be free from all of the sins and his heart becomes washed and clean. So on the third point, question, that I'm not stopping you from doing tabligh, ta'aleem, teaching, learning tafsir, Quran, hadith or careers. Whatever work of the deen you are doing, continue to do that work of the deen. I'm giving you that water, that fertilizer, that whatever work of the deen you're doing, if you do dhikr of Allah, you'll go to the highest level of the work you're doing and you'll attain success, SubhanAllah. This is my tabligh. This dhikr of Allah doesn't stop you from doing any action of your life. All of you will be strengthened. The people who tabligh, nur will come into your tabligh, into your propagation. Every work, sector of the deen you're doing, and your hadith, the beautiful colors will come. Scholars, people will not just listen to you, they will embrace you and implement the words that you disseminate to them. This is the beautiful cure. Allah Ta'ala, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows that this day and age we're living in, we're living busy lives, we can't pray tahajjud, we don't have time to do voluntary actions, nawafil actions as time passes. Busyness has come to Allah, so Allah has prepared for us. Allah says, recite my pure name and I will purify you and your life will become so simple. SubhanAllah. So brothers, will we do dhikr of Allah? Inshallah, am I just wasting my time? It's true promise that every person will depart from here being a wali of Allah. And you will improve your lives, make your heart alive. Don't leave this gathering with your heart being dead. Otherwise, Allah knows best, will we have another opportunity after today. Another hadith, can I share it with you? Then I summarize what I'm saying. Who has invited you here today? Allah has invited you today. My brothers, we are muflis, fakir, poor, sinful people. We are drowning in our sins, in our problems, in our difficulties, in our illnesses. This is our hal today, isn't it? Yes, problems and issues and worries. We don't know when death's going to come across us. And Allah has invited us, the Khalik, the Malik, the owner, the creator. Say SubhanAllah, He's called us here. Allah has called us here. We sat in Allah's home. So will Allah leave us as poor people when we finish this gathering? Will He not give us anything? For years, Allah, the one who gives to the whole universe, the King of the kings, himself, he's called us, I swear by Allah, he will fill our treasure chests and allow us to leave as rich people. Nobody will leave here devoid of anything. Allah will give you such a reward today, Allah, such a reward that inshallah your life will transform and improve. As Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is the special and select companion of the Prophet, the servant, the khadim, and such du'as the Prophet gave, oh Anas, the amount of children you'll have, nobody will have. He started to cry. You'll have so much wealth and nobody else will have that much wealth. Subhanallah. The scholars know this. Had such a great status. And he heard the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that if some people from different places come together, and in one place they gather together, and that's the gathering of dhikr, subhanAllah, the majalis of dhikr, like this one today, then what's happening? The Prophet says that ijtamau, the people, when they assemble together, gather together for the sake of remembering Allah's name, when they come together in one place, my brothers, swear by Allah, have you not come here today for the dhikr of Allah? Was your objective today not the dhikr of Allah? Did you come to a wedding function, a walima, or some other reason? Every man, child, here in the advert, in the posters, everywhere, it says the majlis of dhikr, gathering of dhikr. So every brother sitting here today is fulfilling this action. Allah's bearing witness. We're saying, Allah, we swear by Allah, we promise that we're sat here to remember you. Do you all promise you're sat here for the dhikr of Allah? Raise your hands if you're here for the dhikr of Allah. If this is your niyyah, subhanAllah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, that Allah ta'ala stated, qala qala Rasulullah has Anas radiallahu anhu stated, that nation of people, those group of people who assemble, who gather for Allah's dhikr, yadkurullah, for no other reason than from the heavens an angel announces, subhanAllah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated this hadith. Munadi fis samai, from the heavens, the skies, an angel announces, the whole universe hears the reverberation of the announcement. SubhanAllah. What's the announcement? An qawmi. O nation of people, gathering assembly, listen, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven all of you. SubhanAllah. The thief, the bandit, the zani, the murderer, whatever you are, you come to this gathering. Allah says, I've forgiven you because you've come together to remember me. SubhanAllah. Oh, people who are sitting here today and who are listening online, the sisters, people across the world today are listening to this gathering and announcement across the world. Everyone who's sitting, listening online around the world, it is as if you are sat with us. Everyone has this guarantee. Whoever is partaking this gathering, that we haven't said that, for example, Allah says, you don't need a passport to attend this gathering. All the veils, the walls, the barriers, all the sisters, mashallah, who are sitting, listening in their homes. There are three groups at this moment in time. Sisters in Parda, all around the world, people who are sat in front of us as well. And the third group, SubhanAllah, the angels in the universe who are attending this gathering as well. SubhanAllah. There's not a square millimeter around us today where the angels are not present and listening and taking part in this gathering. Not a square millimeter. Isn't this town of Bolton so fortunate? What a beautiful illuminated gathering we've got today in this town. It's not just benefiting this town, it's benefiting the whole universe. I swear by Allah, I tell you, that great azab, punishments that were to come and descend onto this ummah due to our sins, due to our bad actions, I swear by Allah, due to this majlis gathering, Allah Ta'ala has cancelled and reversed those azab. Reverse those of us due to this gathering of dhikr. SubhanAllah. Allah says, my name wala dhikr Allahi akbar. This dunya, the mountains, the nature, the moon, the stars, the skies, the universe you see around you. Everything you see in this universe, the creation, the seven skies, the seven layers of the earth, the oceans, everything you see in the world, the universe, it is existing for one reason. Allah says, as long as one person is alive in this world remembering me, doing my dhikr, qiyamah will not come. SubhanAllah. So this is the name of Allah, reciting the name of Allah. Brothers, the power of Allah is so great. If His name is so great that qiyamah cannot come, then brothers, imagine the strength of that heart which is always reciting the name of Allah. Imagine the power of that heart. Yes, will that heart go into Jahannam? Will that person go into Jahannam? Will he have to account for his deeds? Will he have to be afraid of the punishment of the grave? No, he'll be a strong person. When he dies and goes into a graveyard, that graveyard, the whole graveyard, he will allow those people in the graves to be forgiven due to the power of his iman. Subhanallah. So this gathering today, it is today, Allah says, Maghfirah, forgiveness, I've forgiven everybody here. Everybody. Subhanallah. But Dattu Sayyinatul Hasanat, Allah says, I don't just forgive you. Allah says, I'm Rahim, I don't just forgive. Rather, those who get forgiveness, I give reward on top of that. Say Subhanallah. And the reward that Allah Ta'ala gives, that everyone from the children to the age you are living now, from childhood to now, all of your sins, Allah says, I transform into good deeds. Subhanallah. What a great transaction, my brothers. What a great transaction. Have you come here yourself? Out of your own will? Many people, thousands, would have wanted to come here. 200 brothers who didn't come today. Why didn't they come? Because Allah Ta'ala says, no, I didn't want them to come. They weren't fit to be forgiven today. So they didn't come. That, please take me, brother, please take me. Let me see what's happening there. What's this gathering? Come on, brother, you come as well. And he came as well, that brother. We just thought about coming. So when this envelope will be opened in the hereafter, then you'll realize, Allahu Akbar, when you'll go to the court of Allah, Allah will say rewards. They will say black, 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 dot, dot, sin, sin, sin. And the angels will be ready with the chains to drag him into Jahannam. This will be the reckoning on the Day of Judgment. The reckoning. And Allah will say, angels, have you put forward all his deeds? They'll say, Ya Allah, all the deeds have been shared with you. And that Allah will say that, did you go to that gathering in 2019 and seen that deed that he did? And Allah shall remind you, this is how the hisab will take place. Allah is Rahim. And the angel, Allah will ask that, did you go to that gathering, etc.? Did you see that day, did you that day? Allah will say, did you remember Bolton? Bolton? And the angel will say, Allah, yeah, I remember Bolton, he went to this. He sat in the bus, oh yes, Allah, that gathering, that was the dhikr gathering, majlis on Christmas Day in Bolton. Do you remember that gathering? Yes, Allah. And he will say, do you remember? And Allah will say to that person, that, do you remember you went to that gathering? He will say, yes, Allah. And I'll say, go, I forgive you for that deed. And his name was struck of the people of paradise, the list. Subhanallah. So have you not got benefit of coming here today? Will you not do dua for me today after this gathering? Because you are doing that action. Learn dhikr before you go today. Do tawbah. Repent from your sins. Don't be afraid of doing tawbah. Shaitan will say to you, don't do tawbah. Shaitan, when you say do tawbah, shaitan say, no, don't do tawbah. Don't ask Allah forgiveness. No, don't do that. That, why do we commit sins, etc.? Whoever commits a sin, when he commits a sin, you say to him, do tawbah. He said, no, I don't want to do tawbah, repent. Then consider shaitan is inside him. Because shaitan doesn't do tawbah as well. Yes, if you say to shaitan that you'll become the friend of Allah, if you do tawbah, say, no way am I going to repent to Allah. Shaitan says this. Yes, that I'll say today, if I sin, I'm weak. Why don't I do tawbah? Because I'm weak. I don't want to repent to Allah. This is not the excuse. Brothers, what's the reason for us being weak? Allah says, I'll give you a chance. All you have to do is one action. Is Allah, I want to do the action that gives me your forgiveness. Say Subhanallah. What do you say? Allah, please forgive me today. Please forgive me. So we should consider ourselves first as sinners to ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah, don't tell anyone, Allah done this sin, that sin, this sin, that sin. What will Allah do? What will Allah say? You haven't even said it. Allah will listen immediately. Allah say, angels, I've forgiven him immediately. Subhanallah. Allah, he's done this sin. Allah will say to the angels, who are you to challenge and ask me? I know better and he knows better. He has requested me and pleaded me for forgiveness. I give him forgiveness. Subhanallah. But Allah, he committed that sin again. I'll forgive him again, Allah says. Then he sins again. Then I'll forgive him again, Allah says. As long as you ask Allah for forgiveness, I'll continue to forgive you. And the benefit will be, it could happen. It could be that when he's dying, you'll be habitual in asking Allah for forgiveness. And at that time, I will forgive him, Allah Ta'ala says, at the time of death. So make this a habit in your life. Make this a habit. Allah forgive me. Allah forgive me. Allah forgive me. Allah will say, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Just like, for example, a person who is an inspector or policeman, he'll grab you when you commit an error. But Allah Ta'ala says, I will continue to forgive you. Continue to forgive you. When you get this habit, Allah will say that I've forgiven you. Every time you ask me, I'll forgive you. So never be scared of doing tawbah. Who's scared of doing tawbah? Shaitan. So will you do tawbah in your life? Repent. Put your hands up if you're going to do tawbah. Now you understand that it's important to do tawbah. Repent. And mashallah, you become proper Muslim. So what should we do? How do you do tawbah? Three things. First of all of us, we need to do tawbah. And all of us will enter into the Naqshbandi school. How? That all of us will become, say Subhanallah first. Subhanallah. All of us will become students in the school of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, such a great Sahabi, because he is the head teacher of the Naqshbandi school of Tasawwuf. Subhanallah, will all rise up in his shade on the day of judgment. And his rutubah, his status, how can I explain this to you? His status, you know, was a great status. Subhanallah, from all of the Sahaba, he had the greatest closeness to the Prophet. So do you want to become the Naqshbandi students? Honest, truth, sincerity, put your hands up if you want to be close to Allah. It's not benefit for me. I am here to teach you, explain the truth, and give you a simple path. If you want to be a proper Naqshbandi student, close to Allah with repentance, action number one. I'm not saying praise Allah, do this, X, Y, Z. I'll tell you, do dhikr. Automatically your lives will start to improve. You'll start to pray tahajjud, inshallah, and do good deeds. Three actions you need to do today. Do tawbah first, repent. What do you do when you do tawbah? Say it in your heart. Say, Allah, I am ashamed of myself. Say quietly, secretly to Allah, I lived a life of opposition to you. I'd pray sometimes, leave salah, and I used to do bad actions and sins and nonsense actions. Allah, I'm ashamed of my life. Second action to repent to Allah is that you say, Allah, I promise to you, after today, I will not commit these sins again. I promise to Allah, Allah Ta'ala loves His servants, because you're extending your hand of friendship to Allah. You're making friendship with Allah, connection with Allah today. So Allah, used to commit sins. After today, I won't do these sins. Third action, inshallah, I will leave that sin right away, Allah. Right away. That's it. These three actions you have to do today. Inshallah, right away Allah will leave this action. When you do these three actions, don't be scared of saying this, feeling this. Allah will say, you say, Allah, I'm ashamed, I am a rude person, I commit the sins, but Allah, I want to become your friend. I want to leave these sins. So when a person does this, then he starts to leave those sins. Or he promises, Allah, I won't do these actions again. You make this promise, brothers, to Allah. Do this yourself in your heart. Say it quietly to Allah. When you say these three things, Allah will say, I've forgiven all of your sins. And you've become my strong friend. And whatever you want to ask, ask from me. Subhanallah. Allah will say, ask from me direct. And there's no need to you for you to be afraid of being deviated after today. Just pray two rakat salah and ask from me, Allah says. Pray two rakat. How many rakat? Two rakat salah, Allah says, and ask from me. That's it. Any time tonight, pray two rakah salah and straight ask from Allah, I've come to you today, you promised that ask for forgiveness, you give me forgiveness. Inshallah, in your heart, Allah will allow you to feel that light as you will experience that you've got the forgiveness from Allah. That's it. And you don't need to run anywhere else after that. No need, ask from Allah direct. Okay, brothers, so the friendship with Allah is established. Next point. So that's the first step, tawbah. The three things to say to Allah. Second action, learn the dhikr of Allah before you leave. The finger of Allah, the name of Allah will go in your heart. You learn how to say the name of Allah in your heart according to the Naqshbandi order. And the third action, morning and evening. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila. Allah says in the Quran. So Allah says, first do my dhikr, kathir, hukam, order. Allah has told us the benefit. Then Allah says, because Allah says, Allah's great mercy upon us. And when this ayah concludes, how does it conclude? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira wasabbihu bukratan wa asila huwa alladhi yusalli alaykum wa malaikatuhu yukhrijukum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur wa kana bil mu'minina rahima. So Allah says, don't worry, don't fall into a trap. How do I do this? Allah says, I love you, so I'm giving you ijazah that you can remember me. Recite my name. So what we learn here is that the person who does the dhikr of Allah is he who Allah loves. And the person who doesn't do dhikr, Allah Ta'ala doesn't love that person. This is the sign. So the dhakir always will be the dhakir, is the person who Allah loves and allows him to remember him. And the person who runs away from Allah's dhikr is the person who Allah Ta'ala doesn't love. So we need to keep on assessing our lives. Keep on thinking that when you feel or run and do a U-turn, run away from dhikr, who is he speaking about dhikr, dhikr and nothing else? Then consider that dislikeness you have for dhikr is because Allah Ta'ala's love is not with that person. That's the measurement gauge. There's one sign, Allah says, that shows there's love between me and you. And that is my remembrance, the dhikr of Allah. If you're doing dhikr of Allah, then consider that your Rabb loves you. If you run away from dhikr, then it's Allah Ta'ala is disliking you. His love is not with you. Listen carefully, brothers. If you've learned dhikr, you become lazy. I'm trying. It's too hard for me. You don't have time. Brothers, I sat here 20 years, they've been students. They're lazy. They don't do the tasbih. So this proves that Allah Ta'ala is unhappy with you. Allah's happiness and His pleasure, His friendship. The proof of this is this, not that you have a nice business, you're earning thousands, you've got children, luxuries of the world. We think that this is the definition of success. هذا من فضل ربي. This is not the success criteria. Allah says, ذلك فضل الله يؤتي من يشاء. When I see to you in my dhikr, this is my fadl, Allah says. This is my fadl. Consider this is my grace and my mercy. When you're doing my tasbih, when you remember me, Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. When you remember me, then I also remember you. Subhanallah. So this is called a person who is close to Allah. This is the complete sign that Allah Ta'ala has defined. The person who runs away from the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's love is not with that person. The person who does the dhikr of Allah, Allah's love is with that person. So morning and evening, you need to do the dhikr that I'll prescribe to you. How long? 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, that's up to you. That's up to you and how strong your friendship is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So will we do dhikr of Allah daily, morning and evening? Inshallah. The third final point is that everything in the universe exists on one thing, my brothers. Everything in the universe exists on one thing. Yes? That ilm, the knowledge and everything we have would not be here. Why is everything in existence while we're living? Due to one person. Fakhri mawjoodat, the pride of the universe. Allah said, I created this universe for my Habib. I decorated this world for my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember this. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his great personality, his greatness, his being, he was the greatest human being. And he was such a person that Allah Ta'ala says, I don't recognize anybody as a human being. The only way you will succeed is if you have the passport, the visa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah. You may be pious, Allah says, Anbiya, etc. If we say, La ilaha illallah, Ibrahim Rasulullah, will you pass in the hereafter? No. Can you be a Muslim? No. If you say, La ilaha illallah, Isa Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah, Musa Rasulullah, no. When you say, Muhammadur Rasulullah, only then you can claim Jannah and Paradise. That's it. That's it. So we have to accept him. He is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Oh my beloved, you tell the people with your own beloved statement in the Quran. Allah tells us, this is a great statement. Allah says, I won't tell the believers, you tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I tell them, then they say, it's Allah's order. No, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them. So they understand. Allah says to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that tell the people, that قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. Then we'll see that who is the true love of the Prophet and who is the thief. Oh my Nabi, announce to the Muslims that if you want to love Allah, Allah says, if you want to love me as Muslims, and you want to earn my love and you want to come to paradise and get close to me, Allah says, then listen, there's one condition. فَاتَّبِعُونِ. If you want to attain Allah's love, if you want to be near to Allah, if you want Allah to be pleased with you, and you claim that you believe in Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. There's one condition. Follow and obey my Habib, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Adopt his sunnah. Follow his sunnah. Allah says, then if he is happy, then I'm happy. Subhanallah. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is happy, Allah says, then I'm happy. What a great statement. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah says, يُحْبِبْكُمْ Allah. Then you will be my beloved. I will love you, Allah Ta'ala says. Rabb, our Creator is saying this. Our Creator. If we take the Sunnah out of our life, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of our life, then we cannot say we believe in Allah. Doesn't matter how much we say it. Doesn't matter how many gatherings, conferences, announcements, but you will not be the lover of Allah. Allah says the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lies in his sunnah, in his practice, in imitating him. And if we don't do amal on his sunnah, then all the doors to Allah are shut. All the doors to Allah are shut. So the third action we have to adopt today and promise for today, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Is number one is tawbah, number two is dhikr of Allah, and third, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to do amal on his sunnah. To practice on his sunnah. Without his sunnah, there's no success at all. Brothers, will we follow his sunnah? Inshallah. If you want to attain the akhirah, you want to get success, you want to improve your life, you want to have satisfaction in this world, a beautiful life in this world, a beautiful hereafter, then three things do tonight. Alhamdulillah, you will leave this success, this gathering as a successful person. Wa akhu da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Brothers, now we will do the dhikr of Allah. So the method of doing dhikr, I will explain to you. There are two types of dhikr: jahil dhikr, loud dhikr with the tongue, and silent dhikr. Silent dhikr, we'll do both dhikr today. And we'll recite some verses, some kalamat. And obviously a lot of you are new to this gathering, so we will recite these verses together. I will recite the verse first, and then you, with enjoyment and peace and bliss, recite those statements and verses. For example, when you go to a dawah, invitation, a feast, they give you a starter. What did they give in the beginning? Starter. Just to bring you and warm you up. So up till now, everything we've discussed is a starter. Now we come to the main course. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, which is the remembrance of Allah. Subhanallah. When I used to travel to my sheikh by the airport into the plane, that was the starter. Then the person on the plane would bring a starter, and I was hungry, he's bringing me little things to eat away. I said, forget all of this, bring the main course. I want to eat. So all of this up to now was a starter. And in the starter, if you get forgiveness and you enjoy yourself, then imagine the reward and the enjoyment from the main course, the main dish. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. What enjoyment we'll get. So this is what you've come for today. To do dhikr with love, with muhabbat, and with pure, deep love and passion, recite the kalamat. Such kalamat Allah will make us recite. And inshallah, the angels who are surrounding us, they will fall unconscious with when you recite these kalamat beautifully. Beautiful, we'll recite these kalamat that have been specially selected. Verses of the Quran and du'as that are specially selected by the sheikhs of the Naqshbandi silsila. We'll recite these together. Then after that we'll do maraqibah, dhikr of the heart, silent dhikr. After that there'll be du'a, prayer. And after that you'll get food as well to eat, inshallah. Yes, that will be the food from this dunya. Because we'll leave to go into this world, you'll get hungry, won't you? Obviously. So soon as this, the love for this dunya, for this gathering will end, then we'll leave this gathering. Obviously, then the world will come back to us, and then our stomach will remind us we're hungry and should be hungry because we live in the dunya. So, should we start the dhikr of Allah? Okay, inshallah, we make a start.
سيد المرسلين شفيع المزمين طه ياسين الحبيب النبيين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد نبي الأمي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وزرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وقتلنا وامدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على أن تعطيك اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمنته يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم إنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا قاضي الحاجات اكتحاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہماری اس مجلس کو قبول فرما ہمارے آنے کو قبول فرما ہمارے بیٹھنے کو قبول فرما یا اللہ اس مجلس کی برکتیں نصیب فرما رحمتیں نصیب فرما یا اللہ فضل نصیب فرما یا اللہ انعامات نصیب فرما یا اللہ بخش نصیب فرما مغفرت نصیب فرما صحت نصیب فرما عافیت نصیب فرما علم نصیب فرما عمل نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا اپنی جنت کے خزانے عطا فرما یا اللہ اپنی جنت کے خزانہ نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہماری مصیبتوں کو دور فرما ہماری پریشانیوں کو دور فرما ہماری حاجات کو پورا فرما دے اے میرے مولا ہمیں ذاکر بنا دے یا اللہ ہمارے دل کو ذکر کرنے والا بنا دے یا اللہ ہمارے ایک ہی جسم گچا تجھے یاد کرنے والا بن جائے یا اللہ ہماری آنکھوں میں حیا اتار دے ہماری زبان کو میرے مولا صدق نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے دل کو ہدایت نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے ہاتھوں کو ہدایت نصیب فرما ہمارے قدموں کو ہدایت نصیب فرما ہمارے نگاہوں کو ہدایت نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا ہمارے کانوں کو حق سننے کی توفیق نصیب فرما ہمارے زبانوں کو حق بولنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا اس بستی پہ رحم فرما خصوص اس مسجد پہ رحم فرما یا اللہ جو اس مسجد کو آباد کرنے والے ہیں میرے مولا ان کے گھروں کو جنت میں آباد فرما جنہوں نے یا اللہ اس مسجد کو بنایا اس دنیا سے جا چکے میرے مولا ان کی قبروں کو جنت کے ٹکڑے بنا دے اعلیٰ درجات نصیب فرما دے اے میرے مولا اس مسجد میں جو بھی دین کا کام پھیلا ہے میرے مولا علماء کرام جو محنت کر رہے ہیں یا اللہ تبلیغی جماعتیں اور دعوتیں میرے مولا جو محنت کر رہی ہیں جس جس زاویے سے میرے مولا اس مسجد میں محنت ہو رہی ہے یا کریم تو اس کو بہت ہی بلند کر دے اور ان کی محنتوں کو قبول فرما لے یا اللہ ان کی محنتوں کو قبول فرما لے یا اللہ جو اس کے انتظامیہ ہیں منتظمین ہیں میرے مولا یا اللہ بہت ہی خوبصورتی کے ساتھ جو اس مسجد کو آباد کیے ہوئے اور چلا رہے ہیں اور جو سکون اس مسجد کے اندر ہے میرے مولا اس سکون کو قائم رکھنا جکڑوں سے اور مصیبتوں سے اس مسجد کو پاک فرما دینا ہمارے دلوں کو ایک دوسرے سے ملا دے محبتیں پیدا فرما یا اللہ ہماری اس امت پہ محبت پیدا فرما اتفاق فرما یا اللہ اس امت کے لیے تو رحم فرما کرم فرما یا اللہ ہم سب کو نبی پاک کی سنت کے جھنڈوں کو نیچے کھڑا کر دے یا اللہ آپ کی شریعت و سنت پہ عمل کرنے والا بنا دے یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں میں حیا نصیب فرما یا اللہ خرافاتوں کو دور فرما دے اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے جو بھی دعائیں ہم نہ مانگ سکے اور جو مانگی یا کریم اپنی دربار میں قبول فرما لے اے میرے مولا پھر اگلے سال ہمیں یہی مجمع نصیب فرما یا اللہ پھر مغفرت کی بارش نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو پھر معاف فرما یا اللہ جو دور دور سے چل کے آئے ہیں میرے مولا ہر قدم پہ ان کو ثواب نصیب فرما ہر قدم پہ ان کے درجات کو نصیب بلند فرما یا اللہ یہاں سے دروازے سے جب نکلیں تو ہدایتوں سے لٹے ہوئے ہوں ہدایتوں میں ڈوبے ہوئے ہیں یا اللہ ان کے قلوبوں کے اندر توبہ کے نور گئے ہوئے ہوں یا اللہ ان کے اندر تیری توبہ کے نور پہنچ چکے ہوں میرے مولا یا اللہ پکے نمازی بن جائیں یا اللہ پکے نمازی بن جائیں با جماعت نماز پڑھنے والے بن جائیں اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل کے تمام احکامات شریعت کے جو ہمیں ہم چلنے والا بنا دے میرے مولا یا کریم تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے اپنے رحم و کرم سے میرے مولا تم اپنی ہماری دعاؤں کو میرے مولا باپ بخش قبول فرما اور میرے مولا تو ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے
Ya Allah, humare maa-baap ko baksh de. Ya Allah, humare maa-baap ko baksh de. Ya Allah, unko bhout haq hai humare par, mere maula. Aur yakeenan hum ka haq ada nahi kar sake, mere maula. Zinda hai to khidmat ka mauka ata farma. Is duniya se ja sake to humare saare amalon ko badla unko ata farma de. Aur mere maula, wo mushaik jinhone humare rooh ko paala. Ya Allah, humare maa-baap ne to humare jism ko paala. Ya Allah, mushaik ne to humare roohon ko paala hai. Hamare qulubon ko zinda kiya hai. Ya Allah, tera naam sikhaya hai. Ya Allah, tera raasta dikhaya hai. Teri mohabbat ka tareeqa bataya hai. Mere maula, unke liye hum kya maange? Bas tu wo ata farma jo tere shaan ke mutabik hai, mere maula. Ya Allah, tu humse raazi ho ja aur apne habib ko bhi humse raazi farma de. Ya Allah, hamara hashr apne un bandon mein kar jo tere mehboob bande hain, mere maula. Sallallahu taala ala khair khalqihi Muhammad wa alihi sahbihi ajmain. Rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala al-mursalin walhamdulillah.